Exodus 12, verse 1 to 14 first, and then 24 until 29. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the end, the 10th day of this month, each man is to take the lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken account the number of people they are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them till the 14th day of the month. Then all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the house where they eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roasted it over a fire, with the head, legs, and internal organs. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some of is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it, with your tucked into your belt, your sandals and your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment for all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign of you on all the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate with the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. 24. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you, as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, "What does this ceremony mean to you?" tell them, "It's a Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the house of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians." Then the people bowed down and worshiped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on the throne, to be firstborn of prisoner who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all livestock as well.
Good morning. Yes. So I was going to say, this is my first time in this building, I think. Almost first time. One time I came here for singing for 1.5 years. For me, it's amazing. I've been preaching online for 1.5 years. So it's a little bit, an ease for me to stand here again after such a long time. But it doesn't matter. Let me get some water. And I see a lot of new faces. I think more than half today I have not seen before. It's very strange, but they have been with us. You have been with us for I don't know how long. Depends on the person. But I think it's nice to be to come together again and to see the faces also, not only voices or videos online. It's wonderful. Okay. Do I have a remote control for the PowerPoint? Is it possible? Oh, okay. All right. But you need a lot. She needs a lot of movement. So. Okay. This is. I really need to have it because I go step by step in the PowerPoint. Yeah, but it's every. Okay. All right. Sorry to cause so much trouble. If I had anticipated, I would not, because I need to go text line by line on the PowerPoint. So anyway, let's continue while they figure it out. No, it's not working. Oh, well, let's just try without first. So, in IVC, but in many churches, we have two different kind of ordinances. One is baptism. We had a baptism service in May, where new believers, they are immersed in water and come out, and there's a lot of symbolic images behind it. Why do we do that? And the other ordinance is what we will also have today, which is, we call it communion. And communion is celebrated more often. We do it once per month. The church where I grow up, and actually we did it every week. It can become a little bit of a habit. You know, we do communion every month, and we are not realizing what it means, but there's also a lot of meaning behind it. And today I want to, because we have Community Day, I thought let's dive a little bit deeper in what does it mean actually? Huh? Why do we do this? And what does it represent? And can you go to the next slide already for me? Or so in communion in the Bible is not called communion. Huh? It has a different. We see it in has a few different names. One is the Lord's Supper, and we read that in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 20, where we see that so then when you come together, and this was in a situation where communion was not celebrated correctly. So this, Paul said, when you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat. So the Lord's Supper is a reference to communion. Another one is, and that is much more often, we see that in especially in Acts, the book of Acts, that it's called breaking bread. And Acts 20, verse 7a, we read, on the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. So breaking bread, that's why this, the sermon title today is called Breaking Bread. Breaking bread. And this whole ceremony of breaking bread is instituted by Jesus. And let's read about that in Luke 22. 22 verse 14. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. Thank you. For I tell you, I will not drink it again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. So here, Jesus starts the ordinance of communion, bread and wine. Now, even it is instituted by Jesus 2,000 years ago, the origin doesn't work. So let's let you do it. The origin goes far back in time, and we have read about that just now. The origin of the principle of breaking bread. It's already in Exodus 12 described. When we read about the deliverance of Israel from Egypt. It works now? Not there. Okay. I cannot. Okay, can I see it? Yes, I can see it on the laptop. Yeah. Okay. So the principle of communion goes back to the deliverance of Israel from Egypt. That's why we read about it in Exodus 12. What is the link, you would think, right? So in Exodus 12, we read about Pesach. And Pesach, the feast of the Israelites, where they commemorate the fact that they were liberated from the Egyptians. And how? Well, we know about the 9 or the 10 plagues that God put on the Egyptians and not on the Israelites. And the last one is what we read about today, is where the Israelites had to kill a lamb and smear the blood on the door frames. And in that way, the blood protected the Israelites from the wrath of God. So when God went through the streets, he could see the houses that had blood on their door. And that way he knew, this house belongs to mine. I will not kill there. So to to commemorate the whole liberation of Israel from the Egyptians, this feast, the Feast of Pesach, is memorized, and they do it every year. Every year, now they kill, for generations long, they kill a lamb, put blood on the doorsteps. So how does that relate to communion? Well, let's have a comparison. Pesach, or Passover, is instituted by the Lord for the Israelites as a reminder of their liberation from slavery. And a lamb had to be killed, and the blood of the lamb put on the door saved from death. Communion, breaking bread, is also instituted by Jesus, by the Lord, as a reminder that he, the Lamb of God, had to be killed. The same, a lamb has to be killed in the Pesach, and just with breaking bread, we are reminded that the Lamb of God has to be killed. And the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb of God, saves us from death, from eternal death. So the image of Pesach is a weaker image than the image that Jesus puts here. This was about liberation from slavery from the Egyptians. But this symbol, breaking bread, is a symbol of liberation from eternal death. It's much more important. And Jesus installed this ordinance after Pesach. They also celebrated Pesach that day. Was finished, so it was done after supper. The first was a reminder for the Israelites that they were freed from death. And the second one, instituted by Jesus, is a reminder that God has saved us Christians from eternal death. It's a beautiful comparison. So let's look a little bit closer at the breaking of the bread. What are the ingredients? Well, first of all, it is a reminder, a celebration, and an expectation. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 to 25, you read, "For I received from the Lord," this is what Paul is writing, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. It is a reminder, right? Do this to remember me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink this in remembrance of me.'" Again, a reminder. It's also a celebration. And the new covenant in my blood, we think about that God has set a new covenant with us, a covenant that will be forever in the blood of Jesus. It's a celebration of the new life in his blood. "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So it also has a little bit of expectation. We do this until he comes. So we think about the return of Jesus. So three elements. Reminder of his broken body, of his suffering and death. And that is what breaking bread is about. But we celebrate that because of that, we have new life in Jesus. And we expect that we do this regularly until he comes. It's more than only thinking about Jesus' death. It is more. It's about celebration and expectation. It's not only this, it's also more. It is also fellowship with the Lord. The Lord invites us to have fellowship with him, to break bread. Like Jesus was sitting with his disciples at the table, and he has passed over with them, and after that, he gives all of his disciples bread. "Remember me." It's fellowship with him. We see invitation. We see the invitation, we saw it already. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me, God invites us to have communion. God invites us to break bread and drink wine. It's also food, right? We have bread and we have wine. And we sit at a table. We sit, the disciples and Jesus were sitting at the table. And I want to have a look at all these three items. Invitation, I think we already discussed, but let's read it again in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 to 25. For I received from the Lord, and this, every time we a lot of times when we do communion, we hear this verse. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me, an invitation. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. And you see that in Acts, that the church is doing this regularly, almost daily, they break bread. Now, in this church, we do it once per month, still regularly. Other churches, they do it every week. There's no rule. But we do it regularly, not once per year, like Pesach. We do it often. Pesach has a whole festivity. You have to prepare a lot and things. This is quick, right? And you see, with Pesach, they even have to tie their shirts and be ready to leave. This is fast. We can do it in 5 minutes, not like Pesach. So that's why we can do it much more than once per year. We can do it whenever we want, together, church. So let's have a look at the food. God invites us, also today, to join in communion. And you know, especially for the people online, my experience is communion online, sometimes I forget it's there, and then I'm sitting and listening to the sermon, oh, yeah, there's communion, and then, okay, never mind, forget, I forgot it. So let's not, I will skip it. You know, that's happened to me. Online is easier, because yeah, you have to run away and prepare everything while the sermon is going on. Okay, never mind. But I will ask you today, you who are at home, get it, prepare it, because it has so much meaning when you think about it. And we will come back to that meaning. Food. So we have bread and wine. Again, in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You know, Paul is writing about breaking bread or communion in this chapter because something went wrong in the church of the Corinthians. The Corinthians were a bad example. They would come to church without having breakfast at home, and they will, especially the rich people, they brought their food and wine and they had breakfast at church and after that have communion. So they got drink a lot, a little bit too much wine. They may get drunk before communion. But there were also poor people who did not have any bread or food to bring. And they saw the rich people eat, but they stayed hungry because it was not shared. There was really something wrong in the Corinthian church. They treated it as a feast for themselves. And they treated it as, let's first fill our stomach and then celebrate the Lord's Supper. An unworthy way of celebrating the Lord's Supper. So Paul rebukes it. And he sets the right standard for communion. So that's why Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 20 writes, so then, when you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you are eating. It was a disgrace to God what happened there. So Paul had to set things straight. And then Paul re-explains the meaning of the Lord's Supper. And then he warns that you cannot do this. You cannot eat the Lord's Supper in an unworthy way, an unworthy manner. And I feel that sometimes we take this too serious. That sounds strange, because Paul took it serious. But sometimes we are in church and we felt maybe we did not read the Bible enough this week, so I will not join communion. Because of this verse, we cannot join communion in an unworthy way. But I don't believe that's what meant. The warning that we read in 1 Corinthians 11, let's read it first, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27 to 29. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. So what does this mean? If I did not read the Bible enough last week, or
Ethan, mama moeder,
does it mean I cannot join communion? I think what this warning is not about those who struggle or those who worry about if they are holy enough to join communion. It's not about this. The warning is given. The next doesn't work. The warning is given against those who are careless and profane, so they act unworthily, and not against those who are timid and doubting, who think they are unworthy. If you think you are unworthy, please join. But if you act unworthily, like the Corinthians, they got drunk before joining communion. They did not care about at all about what it means, what communion means, about remembering Jesus. Then you eat and drink judgment on yourself. So don't doubt when you struggle and when you have and you feel guilty. We are here together as a church to participate in breaking bread. And if you worry about it, it means you are not unworthy. You do not act unworthily. You are thinking you are unworthy. And you can join. When we struggle with sin and find ourselves in need in forgiveness, let us seek, this is what I read somewhere, let us seek that forgiveness and eagerly reach for the cleansing of the blood of Christ. Like in Corinthians 10 we read, is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks, a participation in the blood of Christ that cleans us. Let us share the communion experience and the reassurance that we are part of God's people. Is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? We read that in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. So by participating in communion, it is also a way of cleaning. We take participating in the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ cleans us from all sin. And of course, the wine here is not the blood of Christ. It's a symbol of the blood of Christ. But because we are in need of forgiveness, it does not mean we cannot join communion. The third part of fellowship is the table. And here is where a spiritual message of what communion means is expressed. The Lord is preparing a table for us. We read that in several verses. In Psalm 23, verse 5, we read, "You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." When the Lord is preparing a table, it is also always has a meaning. First of all, it prepares the table for us to proclaim the Lord's death. That's what we read in 1 Corinthians 11. To proclaim the Lord's death. It's not just to think about the Lord's death, but to proclaim the Lord's death in front of our enemies. And God prepares a table in front of the enemies to display something, to show something to them, to the enemies. What are our enemies? We read that in Ephesians 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. For this table is in front of our enemies. Why? To remind the enemies of their defeat. You read in Colossians 2, verse 15, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he, Jesus, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. When we have communion, we let these enemies relive this moment, because we show to them Jesus' body is broken for us. His blood flowed to cleanse us, and you are defeated. This is what communion is. A spiritual message behind communion is this. The table of the Lord is in front of our enemies. And whether we are at home or here together as church, together we are a family. And we are the church of God. And when we have communion, we show to the spiritual world, God has defeated you. Jesus' death saved us from you. This is something, when you celebrate communion, you do not often think about. You think about that Jesus died for us. But it's also a symbol towards the enemies to tell them again and again that they are defeated. So, do we join this table only? Because there's also a warning. In Corinthians 10, verse 21 to 22, it says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than he? What does this mean? First of all, I think it means that communion is for those who are Christians. For those who are sitting at the Lord's table because the Lord has invited you. But it also means that we cannot have communion on Sunday with Jesus, and on Monday we worship Buddha, and on Tuesday we go to the mosque to pray with the Muslims. There's something different here. That's not what the Lord wants. The Lord wants, choose. Are you sitting at the table of me, my table, or the table of demons? But you cannot have both. Don't make the Lord jealous. And this is I just discussed about different religions, but there are many things where we can have our own idols that we worship. We just had the European Championship. How disappointed are you when the Dutch lost? Or for me then. So what is important is that God wants your undivided attention. Sit at the Lord's table and not at the table of demons. So, summarizing. The Lord's Supper. Do you know that he invites you? You realize that God wants us to join. Jesus is the host. We are the guests. Do you recognize the food, what it means? The bread and wine as a body, as the body and blood of Christ. But not only recognizing it like this, but also have it in your mind. Is God in your mind today? Is the Lord present in your thoughts? Discern the body of Christ. Do I know what it means, or is it just a symbol for me? Just a routine. The Lord's presence in your thoughts. And are you at his table? Does Jesus' blood cover our sins, your sins? And do you stay away from the other table? If that is the case, can you move it a little bit forward because my doesn't work? If that is the case, please don't reject this invitation. When we have communion in a minute, don't reject it. For the people at home, don't reject it. Take and participate. So we will have communion in a minute, but first I think it's nice to have a song to fill our thoughts with God. Let's sing.